Here's something, girls. Remember this. Guys fall in love on an average of about 4 times a day. True. Walking down Waikiki. Oh my goodness. I'm in love. Oh, I'm in love. 3 minutes later. Oh my goodness. I'm really in love now. Oh, baby. And across the street. Oh, my heart is beating now. They fall in love on the average of 4 times a day. So if he says, I love you, wait 3 or 4 minutes.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message on relationships, and we learned that the most important relationship we need to work on is our relationship with Jesus. But today, we'll find out that it is also very important to develop good relationships with those around us. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Promoting Healthy Relationships.
If I love Jesus with all my heart, it's the best thing for my wife. Then she knows if her husband goes a little off, he'll self-correct because he'll hear the Holy Spirit, because God is first. The best way I can love my wife is to love Jesus first with all my heart. So the first is to make sure that Jesus is the most important relationship you have. The second is this. Would you write down number 2 in your notes? Prioritize important relationships on earth. What are those most important relationships? Well, I would suggest your family is one of the most important. Your family. Oh, it's easy to drift from your family. Remember, it's the obvious we miss, the obscure we finally figure out. It's the obvious we're completely blind to. And someone once said it this way, the darkest spot of any lighthouse is always at its base. Family is an important and intentional relationship. Jesus even prioritized that from the cross. He was about to be crucified, hanging there, about to expire, and he looked down and he saw his mother. And interestingly, he makes mention of family. Would you read with me what it says in John 19? Go. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. To Jesus, family is of critical importance. I was meeting with a businessman just 2 weeks ago, and he said, "Wayne, my family's breaking apart. My wife and I are going separate ways." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I think I'm losing my job." I said, "What?" "Yeah, the boss at the county has got someone else training for my job. So if I lose my job, I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to lose my house, everything. My family's flying apart." I said, whoa, wait a minute. Because this here is going down, you're getting rid of all of this? I said, you hang on to this family. Forget the job. You hang on to this tenaciously. Because if you do and you keep priorities correct and you honor God, he'll give you a better job. Maybe he's just cleaning out the closet here. But you have to trust him. You don't hang on to that which is passing for that which must never pass. Your priorities are off. He said, well, how do I know what priorities are most important in my life? I said, I'll tell you how to find that out. He said, how? I said, think of it this way. When you die, if you died tomorrow, who will be crying at your funeral? You think if you die tomorrow, your city employees are going to cry at your funeral? No, they'll have a party because they got your job. But I bet your wife will be weeping, and so will your 3 or 4 kids, and certain friends will gather around. Who do you think would be weeping at your funeral? That will help you to determine what your inner circle of family would be that you invest in. That's very important. And I would encourage you in the same way to choose those friends wisely. Otherwise, you'll make a mistake. Did you know that Jesus himself chose friends wisely? He didn't just let them happen. No, He chose. Well, the Bible says he appointed, but he chose them. In fact, let's read this next scripture together in Mark 3. Would you read it? Go. And he appointed 12 that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons. Would you circle the word appointed? 12, that they would be what? With him. Underline with him. Did you know that he chose 12 that he would spend the most time with? Relationships are incredibly important, but prioritize the most important ones on the earth, which is family and an inner circle of friends. But boy, I tell you, listen carefully. When you choose your friends, don't just let them happen now, but when you choose your friends, choose wisely. Choose wisely. In fact, let's read what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says. Would you read it out loud? Go. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts what? You can learn good morals here in this church. You can get them down. But if you got crazy friends out there, it'll dilute your morals. You'll go bad. It will make you start to rot. It will dilute. It will neutralize good values. That's why it's important for you to choose wisely, because they will mess up what's good about you. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians says. Don't be deceived. There are certain people you need to steer away from. Let me just, if you're dating, can I just say something to girls right now? These are some people you say, well, who do we steer away from? And one girl asked me that. I said, here it is. If you're dating a guy, I said, watch how he treats his own mother. Just watch. Because if he says to his mother, hey, old lady, give me something to drink, eh? Throw him in the nearest trash can. Because if he treats his own mother that way and you get married, he's going to what? He's going to treat you in the same way. Because he needs to have respect for the opposite gender, starting with his mother. And if he's got a bad relationship with your mom, steer away from him. And the other tip is, if he tries to manipulate you in any way with love, if you love me, you'll move in with me. Here's something, girls. Remember this. Guys fall in love on an average of about 4 times a day. True. Walking down Waikiki. Oh, oh my goodness. I'm in love. Oh, I'm in love. Oh. 3 minutes later. Oh, oh my goodness. I'm really in love now. Oh, baby. And across the street. Oh, my heart is beating now. Isn't that right? They fall in love on the average of 4 times a day. So if he says, I love you, wait 3 or 4 minutes. Because that'll change. Listen carefully. Guys give love in order to get sex, and girls give sex in order to get love. It's a volatile combination. That's why it's important that you choose wisely. Otherwise, you'll get in trouble. And guys, by the way, what I just said, hey, listen carefully. So treat your mother well and don't manipulate. Especially if a guy manipulates you to this extent. If you don't move in with me, I'm going to kill myself. Give him a gun. Give him a gun. Really? Yeah, you want to steer away from them. And in fact, one of the worst is this. Let's read the scripture together. Here it is. Go. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare. Your life will be in a snare. You will be going on a trip every week, a guilt trip. If he uses anger to manipulate what he wants, get away from him fast. You say, but Wayne, What if I just married one? Too late. No, I'm just kidding. But there are no perfect husbands. We all know that. My wife Anna married the last one. Just joking. Anyway. No, can I encourage you, if you find that you've got some struggles, please do not ever be so proud as to not tap into some of the programs that we have. We've got great counseling here. We have a wonderful ladies' ministry, Women in the Word. We have men's ministry. Tap into those. And there's a program called Life Change that we have. Oh, they're just fantastic. They help you with these classes to sort of unpack your life and repack it the way it should be. They teach you how to take a look at your past and assign it the role of a mentor rather than a torturer. Because you see, you have the authority to assign roles to every area of your life. You can assign to your past to be a torturer of your future, or you can assign your past to be a mentor to your future. It's up to you. You can have it become a torturer so that you'll become a victim, or a mentor so that you'll be a wise disciple. You'll learn from them, or you'll run from them. It's up to you. But you make that choice, you see. And Life Change will help you to assign roles correctly. So, you say, well, Wayne, some relationships are a success, but some are failures. Yep, I understand. That happens. We're human. What do we do? Well, there's a lot of advice I can give you, but here's one, and it's real simple. When you come to relationships that don't work out, burn no bridges. Don't burn bridges. You're going to encounter really bad things. But you see, if we burn a bridge, we're basically amputating a relationship. We're judging this person as dead. I'm not talking to you. That's it. But you see, the problem is, if I burn a bridge, what if God speaks to that person in a year or so and they want to come back and make it right? If I've burnt a bridge, they can never come back. I stop their healing process. Don't burn any bridges. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 12. Would you read it with me? Go. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all. What does that mean? It simply means this. Be at peace with all men means this. Even though someone might shut their door to you, don't ever shut yours to them. Keep it open a little bit. Because God may deal with their heart and they'll want to find their way back for healing. But if I amputate that, then they can't come back. Let them find a way home. They may never do that, but you still have to keep it open. It's healthy for your soul and it gives them a possibility of wholeness. Don't amputate. By the way, we live in a throwaway society, don't we? Where we just throw away stuff instead of getting it fixed. You break a little machine or a computer, it's better just to throw it away and get another one. I had a refrigerator and the compressor went out. I had the repairman come over and he said, oh, your compressor is out. I said, okay, could you replace it? He said, oh, no, you don't understand. Your compressor is out. I said, okay, put another one in. He says, no, you don't understand. It is cheaper to get a whole nother refrigerator. I said, but the rest of it's good. He said, you don't understand. You need a new refrigerator. So he actually took this good refrigerator out, tossed it, and brought in a new one. He says, cheaper. I thought, oh my goodness. Now we do live in a throwaway society, and I understand that. So long as we don't take that philosophy and put it on relationships and throw each other away. Because it's so easy to amputate. But you can't do that. You've got to let them come back. Otherwise, there's no way home. You see, you know, someone does something wrong, bang, you dead. And then you're in a supermarket 2 years later and that person says, oh, Pastor Wayne, I wanted to talk with you. Shut up, you dead. Well, there's no hope for reconciliation. Yeah, but he had to tell me he was sorry. Let me tell you a story. When Aaron was about 4 years old, he did something dumb. And he still does stuff dumb. But he said something crazy to his mom. And so I disciplined him in his room. And I said, you're going to stay in this room until you think about it. And you need to make it right with your mother. Close the door. You stay in here now. Close the door. And so I went out into the living room and I was reading a magazine. And about an hour later, I hear the door open. And Aaron's now 4 years old. He's walking back to me. And he has this little game. I think it was a Pac-Man game. And he came up behind me and he said, Daddy, would you like to play Pac-Man with me? I turned around. I said, did you talk to your mother yet? Oh, no, not yet. I said, get to your room. You get to your room. Get. And I closed the door. Sat back down, proud of myself as a great father. reading my magazine. And God spoke to my heart, I mean, so clearly. He said, Wayne, you didn't understand him. I said, yes, I did. He didn't talk to his mother yet. He didn't make it right. No, no. He was asking for forgiveness. I said, no, he didn't. He wanted me to play a stupid game. He said, he's 4 years old. And this is what the Lord just, you know how God can speak to you in a nanosecond and you just got it? It's like the Lord was saying, he doesn't have the articulation to be able to express what you want him to say. But by him coming and saying, can we play this game? You know what he was saying? He's saying, Daddy, my relationship with you is broken, but if you'll play this game, it tells me that we're okay again, that the relationship is repaired. And the Lord said, you didn't understand. He was saying, I'm sorry, and you didn't understand a thing because you cut him off. You see, if we cut people off and we have a tendency to amputate people, you'll never understand the human soul. You'll never understand the cry of a human heart. But if you understand the importance of relationships, you'll be able to hear a little bit better. Because we live in a throwaway society and it's so easy just to throw one another away. We can't do that. We amputate way too much. And here's the thing. Here's why it's so bad. Is because in church, it's not another person. We are collectively how many bodies of Christ? One. We're the same body. So when you amputate a relationship, it's like amputating your own arm. That's why God says, you don't understand how important this is. You don't go around mutilating yourself. But I'm not. I'm telling her to get lost. She's a part of you. It's sort of like you playing baseball and you throw to first base and the ball goes way over the first baseman's head. You go, well, that was stupid. Whew, cut this thing right off. No. You get it and you work it again and again and again until you develop the skill that is necessary. But we have a tendency just to cut our arms off. God is saying, you can't do, burn no bridges. And as you understand the importance of relationships, things in life will increase in value. You'll start to have the lifeblood return again. And you'll begin to have a clear, close relationship with God because all your body is working together. Let me read this article by Lewis Smedes. It's called Love Within Limits. And I love it. And it says this, love, if it is true love, will let pasts die. It moves on, and it moves one another to a new beginning without having to settle the score. Love does not demand that all past mistakes be repaid or even mentioned again. No, love lets accounts go unsettled and ledgers go unbalanced. And conflicts between people's memories of how things really happen don't need to be revisited, love says. The past is the past, and it's the future that counts. For true love refuses to be fussy historians. Instead, Love prefers to tuck those loose ends of past rights and wrongs into the bosom of forgiveness and gives a big push for a brand new start. I like that. So I have a challenge for you as we close and an assignment. Are you ready? Here's the challenge. This week, and as you go to your small group, share this as well. But this week, ask yourself this question. If I had life to live all over again, what would I change? Think it through. And here's your assignment. Today, I'm going to ask everyone to give one another a clean slate. Everybody in your life, just give them a clean slate. Because you see, memories pile up and history, bad history, lingers. And it gives an odor to life that you can't get rid of, like a bad cologne. But if you'll give everybody a clean slate, there will be a new fragrance that'll enter your life. Give everybody a clean slate. Because let me ask you this. How many of you could use a clean slate once in a while? Just a clean slate, yeah. And that's what the blood of Christ does. In fact, we just went through Lamentations. And you know what Lamentations 3 says? God gives us a clean slate how often? Every morning. His mercies are new every morning. How glad I am for that. And if he can do that for me every morning, the least we can do is once in a while, just give everybody in our life, just give everybody in your life, your spouse, your family, your wife, your uncles, people that built you in the past, let pasts die. Let accounts go unsettled. Just give everybody a clean slate. Just give them a clean slate. I tell you, everything will change because relationships will be now on the increase and watch the value of life start to go up. You won't be barking up all of these wrong trees and dead-end roads looking for life because life is right in front of us. And it's in relationships, not in possessions. And if you give everybody a clean slate, whew, watch. Give your brother a clean slate, your sister a clean slate, your spouse, Pastor Elwin. Give everybody just a clean slate. Start all afresh. Isn't that great? Yeah, we can. How many of you say, I'll do that? How many of you would say that? I'll do that. I'll do that. Good. That's the kind of people that we want to be. And then God says, if you get that, you got all the rest of Scripture. You miss this, doesn't matter. If you're a great theologian, your life will not amount to much. Get this. For the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these commandments hangs the whole law and the prophets. That's the kind of people we want to be. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Let's sing.
My source of hope is Christ the Lord.
God bless you. Have a fabulous day on this anniversary. Give somebody a hug on your way out.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Promoting Healthy Relationships by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.